All right. Big on Bootstrap, America's greatest news source.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like the fervor. We haven't done anything for the freebies in a while.
We haven't done anything, really.
Oh, you haven't been posting to the Patreon stuff?
No, I posted that stuff.
Okay, good.
I mean, you mean the interviews with John Squad?
Yeah, and
Jeff
and then
Fortson.
And
I just called him John.
Yeah, with Jeff and then Josh from Dogwood. And then Katy Perry.
We did do that.
And Barack Obama. Have you posted?
Yeah. Those are
right.
Patreon only people.
Man, I haven't seen you in forever. How are things going? We haven't talked. We haven't done anything in like 2 weeks.
I know, man.
Yeah, go on.
It's going all right.
Oh, you got COVID. That's what happened.
I did not get COVID, Joe.
You told me that you got COVID.
You fucker. No, I said I might be getting COVID again. And then you're like, hey, we're not doing our podcast because Reese has COVID. And I was like, I don't have COVID. I was waiting for you to call me.
Oh, I thought I read that the text that you sent me as you had COVID.
Look at that.
What's that?
It looks like I have a really high third nipple.
Yeah?
I got bit.
What's that from?
I got bit.
By an alligator? By a baby alligator?
Some may call this kid baby alligator, yeah.
Oh, you got bit by a kid.
Yeah.
Some people have to pay lots of money and risk going to jail for that.
Or Thailand.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And you just got it for free.
For free.
You had some kid bite your nipple for free.
Not just free. I got paid for it.
Now, do you have pierced nipples?
Yeah. Got all of them. I actually have 3 extra nipples on the milk line, and they're pierced too.
Nice. Just a bunch of superfluous nipples. You look like if a Rottweiler rolled on his back.
I do.
Have you ever had your nipples pierced?
I have not. No, I just...
Have you ever had any of your no-no areas pierced?
No, I have not. Have you?
No. Nope.
Is this on the agenda? Is this on what we're supposed to talk about today?
It wasn't, but it just popped up. It just popped up.
That's what she said.
Hey, yo. A waka waka. Did you ever think about getting anything pierced?
Not any of my no-no areas. I don't have any desire. My nipples are too small, number one. Let's talk about that. I got some small man nipples.
Okay.
I'm not piercing those things. They're precious little babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And same goes with my genitalia.
Yeah. I would never get my donger pierced or anything like that. It just want that thing messed with. I told you my catheter story, and that was by medical professionals.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody else going in there poking holes in
it. My butt already has a hole in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't need that.
I do. I when we toured with POD, POD has, they had, I don't know if they still do, who tours with them. There was a guy named Judah who toured with POD. And
he pierced my eyebrows.
Yeah. So
eyebrow.
He would bring out his piercing equipment on tour. And so you'd be sitting around bored like, I think I want this pierced. And he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was next to him. He had always talked about having a Prince Albert. So the Prince Albert, I'm sure everybody here knows.
I don't.
It's like in your wiener head. And it's a hoop. No. And the one hoop goes in your pee hole.
Nope.
And then it loops around. And then... there's another hole that I guess depending on what your member looks like, the second hole either goes in your head or I think part of the shaft or near the coronal ridge, something like that.
This sounds like a very bad idea.
Yeah, so Judah was telling me about how he had this piercing, this Prince Albert, and it was a very large gauge. And when I say large gauge, I mean a small gauge leaving a large hole.
Okay.
So on one of the tours we went on, we were talking about it. me and him were standing at the urinals, and I didn't take a peek. I did not peek, but he was telling me that when he peed, he had to keep his thumb over the, because his Prince Albert was gone now.
Uh-huh.
So now there's his normal bowl, but then there's another hole. And so he said that he had to keep his thumb over the secondary hole so all the pee would come out the normal hole.
Why? That's my question. Why would you do it?
I don't know.
Like, you're just,
I don't know.
You know what? This is my favorite part about me. I'm going to just mutilate it. I sound like an old man. Like, why would you mutilate your genitalia? But, like, for real, man. I don't want to do that.
But,
to
like,
my
even
penis.
More so, it's like you're doing that to that part of your body that only you and maybe a couple other people are going to see for the rest of your life.
A couple gym teachers,
a Boy Scout leader.
A Boy Scout leader, and hopefully your wife.
And
after 4 to 5 years of marriage and sleeping in separate beds.
Yeah. You know, maybe someone from Poland.
We'll see it.
That's it. And then whatever fans of yours that they share it with.
Yeah, that's it.
And then that's it.
Maybe.
So I don't understand mutilating that part of your body for only a handful of people that will see it.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go further, now, mind you, we're touring with POD. POD were pretty faithful Christians. And I think to myself, like, again, it was mid to late 90s, that purity culture that we talked about. I mean, you're getting your dong pierced for what, essentially? Really nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Really nothing. Like, not a whole lot of people are seeing that thing.
Just the gym teachers, the Boy Scout leader, the girl from Poland, all the fans that she sends the pictures to. Basically, no one.
Basically, 17 people.
Could be more or less. But in your life, is it worth peeing in two directions for that? I don't know.
I got to say no.
That seems hurt like a mother, too.
Yeah. I just, call me old-fashioned. I'm just not down for, like, I think of the opposite. Like, I think like a female who gets all pierced up.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and have ear piercings. I like nose piercings. Heidi has one of those super cute, like, little nose studs.
Yeah.
I think that stuff's beautiful.
Yeah.
But if you start going with eyebrows, labrets, you're getting, like, an implant in your cheek. You're getting nipples. You're getting butthole.
Do they have butthole piercings?
You're getting your taint. They have butthole piercings.
Taint piercings?
Now, yeah, they have taint piercings too. Now, here's something.
Like, you guys get a hoop.
Here's something
taint?
That I invented, but it really hasn't. Here's something. Let me start over. Here's something that I've invented, but it really hasn't taken off yet.
Uh-huh.
And you know how? So you know how people get like implants, like under their skin, where then they can screw on
is
the
that
jewel.
What the, is that what is happening?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I have an invention that you surgically like implant, like a. Like a mechanism into your butthole. So you put it in your butthole.
Have you patented this before you tell the world? Because I like where this is going.
I haven't.
Surgically implant this will be into your butthole.
Yeah, like a metal piece.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens, there's like a connecting mechanism. And then what happens is you get a kit. Similar to like the Play-Doh factory, where there's stars, circles, spaghetti, and you can screw those onto that implanted butthole piece. And then when you poop, you could poop out spaghetti, star shapes. You could poop out
squares. Is it dishwasher safe?
We can make it dishwasher safe.
I think it should be, but you should have a separate dishwasher for your poop.
Yeah, apparatus. Probably. But that, so like, that's what mm-hmm. I thought of, but it, no.
Man, my kids would love that. Can we make it for kids?
Yeah. I mean, if kids are allowed to make all these decisions on their lives right now, we might as well let them, you know, if we're going to let a 6-year-old cut their wiener off, you know, cause they love the movie Frozen. Let's let them do a butthole implant. Hey,
is that all you need to do to cut your wiener off? Because I do love Frozen. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Pickle and Boot Shop, America's favorite podcast and greatest comedy in its specific genre.
America's roller coaster.
Greatest news source in America.
So hopefully this works. Hopefully this, this works here. We're going to see how long this goes. I had a bunch of stuff in the old memory bank. If not, I may have to restart my computer, but it's looking like it's doing okay right now. It's looking like it's doing okay right now. Looking like it's doing okay. It looks like it's doing okay right now. Looks like it's doing okay. So, butthole
why?
Play-Doh why poop do apparatus
why do you have to
brings
sing
me
so
to my
sweetly?
Next topic, which is Christmas. Yeah. So, Christmas, are you, now that you're in the new house, are you setting up Christmas? Are you doing lights? Are you doing, like, what are you doing right now for Christmas?
Right now, my house looks like a demilitarized zone.
Right, so you're not doing, you haven't done lights. Have you done Christmas shopping? Dipped on any nog?
No, I've not. Actually, I did sip on nog at Thanksgiving. I had some nog, even though it gave me diarrhea.
Did you do eggnog with the dark rum?
No, just regular eggnog.
Okay. Because
I was like, I'm getting diarrhea anyway. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Let's just get it. I like sit on the toilet and get a refund immediately. But before Thanksgiving, I started renovating. Like I tore out I started tearing out my kitchen, and there's all this popcorn. I like to call it Polish popcorn, which is an ethnic slur against Polacks.
Oh, okay. In 2022, is Polack still a?
It's not.
Is that an ethnic slur?
I don't know. I think it is, but I used it.
Because there's so many things. Like, I'm German, and when someone calls me a kraut,
yeah,
I don't get upset. I almost, like, well, I don't want to say it's like a badge of honor, but I you know,
yeah.
I think it's like, you know, calling somebody, you know, an endearing term. Yeah,
the problem is there's not really good slurs for white people. Like, cracker, like, I like crackers. I do enjoy a good cracker here and again.
Yeah.
Or whip cracker. Like,
what about a Karen?
Like Indiana Jones.
What about Karen or Kevin?
Kevin? I mean, no. If you are a Karen, it hurts, but you should know it.
But what happens if you're not and you get called that?
I mean,
like, do your kids ever go like, Dad, you're such a Karen? And you're like, if you ever say that again, so help me. You're going to be picking your teeth up.
I don't say that. No, I don't get that offended. If somebody was like, you're being a Karen, I'd be like, I would look at it in my life. I'd try harder. I'm like, am I complaining?
Your kids never call you a boomer? Hey,
yeah,
boomer.
Sometimes they do. Okay, boomer. I'm like, I'm not a boomer. I'm Generation X.
I know.
Second greatest generation this planet has ever known. So yeah. Shut your mouth.
That's what I tell my kids. They'll be like, oh my gosh, Dad, that was such a boomer moment. And I'm like, and then after I mansplain to them the boomer generation of, you know, and all that, and then I'm like, I'm Gen X. We've done more in our pinkies than you've ever done in your life.
I'm like, here, I'm going to write something in cursive and you try and read it. Now shut
exactly.
up. Shut up and sit down, kids. You idiots. You don't know anything. You're so sheltered. Mm-hmm. You're so precious. Like, yeah. There's been no hardships in your life whatsoever. You never had to find your way home from soccer camp because the kids were picking on you and you ran away. Right. You're just like, everyone's a bully. We have to stop bullying right now. You're so pampered. Everything is so good for you.
Or if
right
you talk
now.
About mouse traps. Everyone gets upset.
So their lives are so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that,
yeah, especially
that's what
COVID.
I feel like there's no...
COVID really did that generation a good deed, huh?
That is the hardest thing. Like, and I had to do school on a computer.
I couldn't talk to other people and develop my social part of my brain.
I had in between playing Nintendo.
That's because you spent the entire time on your phone or your computer. Mm-hmm. You could have taken that time to talk, to interact, to, you know, to lots of stuff. But you chose to play Crossy Roads. yeah.
Anyway,
oh, unbelievable.
There's
well, back
no
to Christmas.
Good slurs for white people. And well, back to Christmas.
Let's think of what's a slur we can invent. There's a Mediterranean uh-huh. restaurant in the city that I work in, and that my buddy and I think that the name of it sounds like it should be a racial slur
for white people.
And so we call each other the name of this restaurant, and we've kind of deemed it like a white person ethnic slur, although it has nothing to do with anything. It's a Middle Eastern restaurant called Bukies. B-O-U-K-I-E-S. Bukies. And so we think that sounds like an ethnic slur towards white people.
Bukies?
So I'll see my buddy Jerry, and I'll be like, you friggin' Bookie? And he's like, ah. He'll be like, yeah, there's a bunch of Bookies, you know, hanging out in front of the movie theater. And it'll be just like a bunch of white kids.
I am on that. That is a good ethnic slur for white people.
A Bookie.
Have you seen the episode of Tosh.0 where he's got like a group of different like men and women of different ethnic backgrounds, and he's just saying, are you offended by this? And he's just saying things that sound like ethnic slurs. Like he'll be like, jungle donkey. And they'll be like, yeah, I really don't like that.
But it's just made up stuff.
Porch sandwich. Not so much. I'm offended. You know, like some people, it's just like, it sounds like a slur, but it's not.
Bookies.
Bookies.
You friggin' Bookie.
Bookies.
This guy was total Bookie at the Home Depot, just acting like he owned the place. Friggin' Bookie. Yeah, that's what me and my buddy Jerry, we use that one all the time. And nobody, other than the two of us, nobody knows
Jerry.
To this point. Nobody knows like what that is. So if this term actually takes off and succeeds, people are going to be like trying to find the origin of it. And the origin is simply
right here.
A Middle Eastern restaurant in Royal Oak, Michigan, that when it went in 5 years ago, we thought, man, that sounds like an ethnic slur to a white guy.
Bookies.
So you tore down, you're renovating. We need to get through this. So I asked you about Christmas, how you're doing Christmas, your lights, if you're decorating, do you have your tree up? Have you done any Christmas shopping? What are the kids asking for? Bring me up to speed on the grease groper.
Christmas lights.
Christmas extravaganza.
Yeah, I started, and in my head, I thought, I was like, I got to get this done so that my kitchen's ready for Thanksgiving. And it's not anywhere close right now. Like, there's no kitchen. It's all torn out. There's holes in everything. The floor right now is this stuff called Dietra. It's called Dietra. It's this orange stuff that like, it's like a membrane. And that's down. And then I'm like laying tile every day, and it's taken forever.
Now, what made you what made you think to do this around the holidays?
I just wanted to get it done. Like, I moved into this house, and it was built in 2000, but they use like the cheapest like builder grade stuff for like the kitchen and all the bathrooms and stuff. So all the drawers are falling apart, and there's not many drawers, and like in the kitchen, I don't have a lot of stuff because I'm a dude. I mean, that doesn't mean I can't have a lot of stuff for cooking, but myself, I don't cook a lot, and I'm not very good at it. So I have like four like pans and a couple pots
and a pot to piss in.
You know, then I'm just like, where do I put these tongs?
Where do your thongs go?
Where does this go? A measuring cup? There's like no space. Where do my thongs go? So I bought a new kitchen. You know, like you design it at IKEA, and it's like. It's just kind of laid out weird upstairs. There was like a little nook for a fridge and then a small pantry and then this kind of giant master bedroom, like master closet for the master bedroom. And I was like, I'll just push this wall over, knock this stuff out, peel up the floor, tile it, and then put in a new IKEA kitchen. And it's taken forever.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've done all this stuff before. It's just, I'm very optimistic. And so I think, this will take 2 weeks. And I'm 3 weeks into it and I have no kitchen. Like I took all the crap out of the laundry room. There are two toilets that work in this house. One sink.
Wow.
There's one sink that has hot water. One shower. So my poor kids, you know, like they're like, God, I'm so glad they're not teenagers because then they're like, Dad, I can't take a shower all the time. But now, you know, now it's like, can you please take a shower?
Right. I was going to say, kids don't take showers all that much anyway.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that need to.
Yeah. They're past baths, but they, you know, you have to still kind of cajole them into taking a shower.
Yeah. So you...
So we don't have Christmas stuff up yet.
Are you putting anything up or is that a no?
We just talked about it tonight where we're going to put the tree. I think I'm going to have to move some furniture downstairs.
Do you go real or fake?
Fake.
Yeah, me too.
It's so much easier. Like and people are like, yeah, but it's plastic in the landfill. It'll be in the landfill when I'm dead.
Yeah.
It's this. I'm going to keep using that same tree. I bought that tree for my ex-wife because she loves Christmas. And I was like, I'm going to do something really nice. I'll get her the best fake tree I can get. And then I don't have to go in the forest and cry when she makes me cut down the nicest tree that we find after 3 hours of tramping around.
Yeah.
Did I sound like a hippie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
So... You used to do the live, so now you got the big fake one. But you said, but the thing is, you said
fake one. She gave it back to me. That was a little chef's kiss. Happy divorce. Here's the shit you gave me for my birthday.
Yeah, you have a tree.
Thanks,
Heidi.
But I have a tree.
It's
really nice. And I
last
like
year at Heidi's, she had this big, beautiful tree that she borrowed from her sister, which was a 9-foot tree, and she decorated it amazing. Like I was proud of her for decorating it. It looked like something you like pay a company to come in and do. And then compared to like how I decorate Christmas trees. And then this year there's no tree up yet because she didn't want to borrow her sister's again. She wants to get her own 8-foot tree. But if you look up, I think if you look up prices, like if you go out and buy a tree now, like a fake tree, it's every bit of gouging.
Yeah.
So I think it's like $600 for like a tree.
What?
God's honest truth, man. I think like a good fake Christmas tree is like $400 to $600.
In January, buy a good fake Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Buy it. Like get a good one. Have it for 50 years It's sentimental. Like, this is our tree.
Yeah. You know, no.
It's the same every year.
We definitely agree on that. And I go, hey, are you just going to borrow Amy's tree again? And she's like, no, it was a 9-footer. And I was like, is that too big or too small? She's like, too big. And I'm like, oh, well, like what size tree do you want? She's like, an 8-footer. I'm thinking she's going to be like, I just want like a 6-foot tree. And no, she wants an 8-foot. And that was a 9-foot
thing.
So I think that was funny. But man, she decorated that nice. Do you put lights outside the house? Are you an outside light decorator?
No, but I will, because I'm trying to be, I have to crank this up. I'm struggling now. Like, I'm like, this is November. Like, my dad's birthday was January 16th. My mom's was the 20th. My mom died on December 2nd. Like, my dad died last spring. And so I'm just like,
yeah,
I have to turn everything on for my kids. Yeah. And so everything is just like, I'll go, okay, we got these. When we bought this house, as part of it, my mom wanted to get this house because there's two blue spruce out front. It's like the state tree of Colorado, these giant kind of bluish Christmas trees. And I'm going to put lights around them and and put up a Christmas tree and all the stuff I can do. But it's totally just for my kids. It's just to create like some level of like normalcy, and this is magical, because I don't want them to, I don't want this to scar them.
It's not going to scar them.
But it's,
I want
hard.
You to think of,
it's so hard.
I want
for
you
me
to
right
think
now,
of this
dude.
Though, that it's not going to scar them. Okay, it will not scar them, and they will know more. Like, they will see more of this is stressing dad out.
Yeah.
And they would much rather have you like, you know what, ladies, I'm going to tackle the kitchen. Christmas decorations are going to be put on hold this year. We'll do some, but next year we'll do Christmas decorations, blah, blah, blah. We got to focus on doing the kitchen and all that. They would much rather, I'm guessing your daughters would much rather have a sane dad that's not going bonkers, who's not stressed out, who's all this stuff. You know, like what you see in Christmas movies. The dad's always stressed out about the gifts and the lights and the this and the that.
Trying to make it perfect.
Yeah, every Christmas movie teaches us the same thing, that none of that stuff matters. And it doesn't. I mean, me and my girls, when I had my own place, it was so awesome. I had an 18-inch Christmas tree, because that's all I could afford. It was an 18-inch Christmas tree with LED lights that you plugged it in and you flipped a switch and it rotated and played like a couple like Christmas songs. My kids loved it.
That's cool.
They were completely okay. They still talk about it. Like, Dad, you remember the little, like, there were so many of those things that just brought us closer together as kid, you know, as kids and dad. Like, after going through that situation, that it was now the three of us and we were kind of forging like our own little traditions. And my kids talk about that to this day. Like, Dad, remember when we had that little tree and we just had this little 18-inch tree that I set on a, like a coffee table, like an end table.
Where is that tree, Joe?
And then, it was the tree of the people who owned the house that I rented. So when we moved out, like, that property stayed there.
You got to find it. You got to find it on eBay.
Yeah. 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 But it was fun. And then, like, all the gifts, like, just went on the floor around the table and under the table. And it was just this little 18-inch. Everybody had, like, two ornaments that they hung on it. It was hilarious. So it was fun. So you don't have to worry about all these things and this year and like living up to.
I do though, man. Like, Christmas in my family growing up was just so like laden with baggage and pain. My mom just, you know, like, she's a single mom and it was so hard for her just to make it all the time. And then Christmas comes up and we're like, Mom, can we have this? And it was like just deflating for her. And so for me growing up, that was a huge part of taking care of my mom, was just like, okay, just shut up and don't expect things. And I don't want to give that to my kids. Like, I want it to be Christmas. I want it to be magical. I don't want them to carry that on to their children. And then, like, for my dad, it was like just this reminder of, I don't have a family anymore. Dude, this is like both the worst and best Christmas I ever had. I think I was 16 years old. I was a junior in high school. And we always went with my dad on Christmas. My dad, how do I tell this story briefly?
Dude, it's the pickle and boot shop. I don't think you need to be brief about it. Have you ever heard my stories?
I have to tell you the story about my dad, like, having to get airlifted out of the Maroon Bells, these mountains in Colorado, while he's climbing them. But he had this mountain climbing accident and did not have health insurance and had all these bills so bad that he was like, the only thing I can think of to make this money back is what I used to do, which is be a truck driver. So he somehow went to just the middle of Nevada and was like driving a petroleum truck, making a lot of money, living in a hotel. And my sister and I went to stay with him because it was how we saw my dad. And he couldn't get a, couldn't afford a Christmas tree. He had a bike. And so we drug out the Christmas shit, or we got stuff. We decorated this bike for Christmas.
The Christmas bike.
The Christmas bike. It was all of us in this one hotel room. And it wasn't like Embassy Suites. It was the Nevada Motel in Ely, Nevada, which was like, you had, if you needed to take a shower, you had to go. It was like a communal shower. Oh, you went my. And knocked down the hall. It was not a good place. And the heat was a radiator. And so if you wanted to turn the heat down, you had to open the window.
Oh, yeah.
And it was usually snowing outside. So it'd be like, if you were sleeping close to the window, you'd get snow on you while you were sleeping. So this was happening. My dad had to drive on Christmas Eve all night. He had to do a propane run. And he was like, Reese, I want you to go with me. So I did. I went with my dad in the truck, and it was so cool.
Eating Cool Ranch Doritos.
Overnight, like staying up Dr. all night
Pepper.
While he drove.
Yeah.
We got home. We slept a couple hours. Whatever. We drove by Area 51. He's like, I think that's Area 51 because there's all those lights and they don't let you go over there. Like, it's like a military installation. And it was so cool. And then we got back. I slept like a little bit in the truck. And then he's like, okay, for Christmas, we're going to go. There's this lady I'm dating. They're having like a Christmas party at this group that she's with. It's a commune, I think. So we're just like, all right, let's go, Mike Roper. So but he's like, there's also a guy she says is giving plane rides. So we go down, you know, I've had like 2 hours of sleep in the truck. I don't know if my dad slept. That we exchanged some gifts under the Christmas bike. And then, which was not much. And
I'm surprised that didn't fall into a Five Iron song.
It might still.
A Christmas, like, you should do a Christmas song about the Christmas bike.
I might. But we went to this airport, like in the middle of this valley, in the middle of nowhere in Nevada. And this guy is giving plane rides to kids for free in this little two-seater Cessna. So we get up in it. Shay did it. And then it was my turn, and I go up, and my headset isn't working, so the guy's just yelling at me over the engine, like, hey, what's up? And he's, like, pointing. Those are sheep. This is this. Like, and then I don't know if you've ever been in a two-seater Cessna, but there's two sets of controls. He must have been like a flight instructor. But he goes, oh, I can tell by his pointing, uh-huh. He's showing me what things do. And I'm like nodding. And then he goes, okay. This is the only thing I heard him say. Do you want to do it? And I'm like, hell yeah, I do. So I'm 16, could not hear shit, flying a plane on Christmas, like on 2 hours of sleep, just flying around, just like, I could tell he was like, the foot controls move this flap and this moves this. This is your throttle.
Oh.
I'm fucking flying this plane, like buzzing these sheep. I'm like 200 feet above the ridge, like flying around. Flew around for like 15 minutes. He's like, okay, I'm going to land. We go and land. And then he goes, have you flown before? And I'm like, no. He's like, you are great at this. You should be a pilot, which is what I wanted to be my whole life. But I had bad eyesight. So I was like, well,
oh.
So cool. And then we went to this hippie commune for Christmas. And it was this lady my dad was dating, for real. It was like pseudo-Christian. About 30 people lived in this commune, grew pot, and like grew all their own.
Was it Japuza?
It was like kind of satanic Japuza is what it's called.
All these noises you hear is the old rickety chair I'm sitting
in. Yeah. It's that old.
I'm trying to get comfy.
That old bookie chair.
Yeah, it's some bookie in history passed it down.
But like it was.
What's up, my bookie?
The least Christmassy of Christmases. I remember like hanging out. There was a bunch of teenagers that belonged to this commune, or they would come back and they're just like talking shit about it. But then they had grown up in it and they're like, let me show you where they hide the pot and just this stuff. And then there was like a frozen pond and we ice skated on it. All this shit. It was just like surreal. The weirdest ever Christmas. It wasn't a bad meal, but it was just like a lot of people burning incense and dinging things and not what you associate with Christmas, but holy crap, it was cool.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I mean, obviously do what you need to do as a family and do what you feel like you need to do, but I just wanted to let you know that your kids aren't going to, they're not going to miss out. They would rather have a less stressed dad than
you.
But if you could do it all and not be stressed and not be put yourself in the poorhouse doing it, believe me, they would much rather have dad with money, not stressed.
You're right, dude.
Did I ever tell you the story of, I think I did, of the styrofoam squares?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. My and daughter.
I think about that all the time, Joe. Yeah. I'm just like, my kids only care about fun. You know, like they care about you being a dad.
Yeah.
Get it, tickle them.
Yeah.
Throw things at them. Let's do fun things.
At the end of the day, money. Like my kids, like they've never said, Dad, remember when you got me that tablet? Remember when I played that one game that you spent $20 so I could buy these like upgrades and stuff? Your kids are never going to come back and tell you that stuff. But like the stuff that they tell you is the like, you know, remember when we were poor AF and you had an 18-inch tree, you know? And you remember when we were in a house that was completely empty and we had to come over because it was your weekend to have us, and all we could do was throw styrofoam at each other, and we made it like a carnival game. You know, those memories are like phenomenal. Like that stuff can like make me tear up, or it makes me just proud to be a dad, like with those moments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so magical. Like the two people you love the most in the world, your daughters.
Yeah.
You have that.
Yeah. And I always talk, I think I've talked about it before on here, if not the last podcast, but this tradition started in our family, and I've told people, and people are like, oh, okay, and I don't think it means crap to them, but it means the world to me. And one morning, you know, again, we were super poor, nothing in the house, you know, struggling to get back on my feet after a divorce, and we had leftovers from Thanksgiving, and so we had leftover turkey, and that was pretty much it. And around that, and so I'm like, what can I make my kids for breakfast? And I took the leftover turkey, threw it in a frying pan with some butter, diced up an apple because I had an apple, and then I had some, I had like half an onion. So I diced up the onion, diced up the apple, and threw it in the frying pan with the turkey. And here's a crazy name for it. I called it Turkey Apples and Onions. And I just cooked it up. I cooked it up for myself because I think I was saving maybe something a little bit better for breakfast, or I was going to do like eggs or omelets for my kids. And they come walking out and they're like, Dad, what's that smell? And I'm like, oh, I just made turkey apples and onions. And they're like, could we try some? And I'm like, yeah. So this portion that was like basically just for me, I wasn't expecting them to get up for a couple of hours. So I like divvied it up between the three of us, put a little shredded cheese on top, let that cheese melt. And everybody loved it. And it became like before the next Thanksgiving, the girls were like, hey, are we going to have turkey apples and onions tomorrow? And I'm like, heck yeah, we are. So every year since 2015, every year we've had turkey apples and onions. So for the last 7 years, you know, right after Thanksgiving, as soon as we're together, it's turkey apples and onions for breakfast.
It's good still. It's good.
Yeah, man.
Is it really?
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Dude, that's straight magic, Joe.
Yeah, it's and I will say, last year, I was making it for more people. So it wasn't just the three of us. There was more, like my sister, my niece, my brother-in-law. So to make it go further, I put potato in it.
Okay.
And we were like, holy cow, this is a game changer. So
potato is more.
Yeah. So this year it's turkey apples and onions with potato. And so I dice up potato and put that in there too. But oh my gosh, like it's just one of those things that it'll never mean anything to anyone except me and the girls. I can try and tell the story. I can try and get across the emotion of it and, you know, what you feel as a dad and, you know, when you're just trying to make ends meet and stuff like that, you know, but I'll never get that across to anybody except the three of us. But it's amazing when you hear them, Dad, are we having turkey apples and onions tomorrow? You know, at some point on Thanksgiving, will there be enough for that tomorrow? And I'm like, you know, this year we did four turkeys. There was like 10 of us at Thanksgiving and we did four turkeys just so there would be enough leftovers, you know, to do stuff. So
four turkeys.
Yeah.
You smoked them?
I smoked two of them. And then one got roasted, and then my brother-in-law, who's not a guy who cooks, but he got a little bee in his bonnet, and he bought, like, I think it's called an infrared grill or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like one of those things you would put, like, to deep fry a turkey in. It just looks like a big, like, pot.
Okay.
But there's stuff in it, you know, around the edges, like a toaster or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he doctored up the bird and then you put it in there for the timer and it comes out, it's infrared, I guess. And so it roasts it. So we had an oven roasted in whatever I just said, an infrared. And then I smoked two of them that were fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the next day,
turkey's apples
with Heidi's family, I double smoked a ham.
Wow.
And that was ridiculous. Like, I took a spiral ham, you know, the spiral honey cut, whatever, and took that, opened all the different spiral slices, seasoned in between all of those, and then put seasoning all over the outside, smoked that for 2.5 hours.
Lord.
And then with a half hour left, I made this glaze out of cherry preserves, brown sugar, and Verner's. And
Sounds so good.
Yeah, cooked that down and then drizzled that all out on the outside of the ham and then in between the slices. It was the best ham I've ever had in my life. Dude. And it's probably going to be like my new go-to. Like if I'm doing an event, we're having people over or something like that, that's probably going to be my go-to.
Do you have a meal that besides turkeys, apples, and onions, do you have something you do for like Christmas morning?
Christmas morning? No.
Or Christmas dinner?
No. For me, it's in my divorce. And see, so my family, when I was married, my family's Christmas was always Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, my family always did it up big. And then Christmas Day, I would be with the girls, like with Leslie's family. So Christmas Day, it's funny, like Christmas Day really isn't anything to me anymore. Like I get all hyped for Christmas Eve because that's when I have the girls. And then around 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, the girls always leave and then they go to their mom's so they can sleep and then wake up and have Christmas Day at their mom's.
Okay.
So Christmas,
that's in your agreement.
Yeah. And so Christmas Day just kind of becomes like a day where I just kind of wake up and have leftovers from Christmas Eve. And I don't really do too much on Christmas Day. I mean, what's nice, like this year, like having Heidi and stuff, I'm sure, you know, I'll be with her, and whether we go to her parents or whatever the case may be, like hopefully new traditions can begin. Because again, like there's in the last few years, there's just been Christmas days where I'm just like playing video games or just not doing any, like just kind of by myself. My sister goes to her in-law's house. My mom's just kind of chilling. So it's just kind of me and my mom sitting at the house on Christmas.
Yeah. That sounds okay though. I mean, like if it's what you're expecting, like Amy and I have this. We had an agreement that on even number years, I get the kids on Christmas Eve. On odd number years, I get them on Christmas Day, like at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So like last year was the first year, so I got to sleep in on Christmas. I didn't have to worry about all that stuff. I had all that time to get everything ready, and then she just brought them over.
Yeah.
Which I loved. And then this year, I get them on Christmas Eve and then Christmas morning until it's time, till one. Which I think at that point, yeah, it's going to be a supreme letdown. You're just going to be like, yeah, this is great Christmas. And they're like, oh, you're leaving.
Yeah.
Like, I feel that pain right now.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I how do you do it, man? I don't know. Like,
you just learn because you can't change it.
You can't
stop the sun from coming up tomorrow. You can't stop a judge's order.
No,
you know. So, like, I remember last year being not bummed, but just actually, I don't think it was last year. I think it was 2 years ago where you're just kind of sitting around like, yeah, just kind of bummed that you don't have your kids on Christmas. It's not like what you expect in your head, like what you would script for at this time in our lives, like at 45 years old.
But who does get to script out their life, you know?
I know, but you know what I mean. But so like now, I'm excited. It's
totally just like,
yeah,
okay, well, this is what I have. Let's just make this the best.
Yeah. But now, like with this you know, with having a relationship with Heidi and her family. It's like this great, like, hey, you know, if we can't be with my family, we're going to be with her family. If we can't be with her family, we're going to be with my family. And just like the fun, like Thanksgiving was a blast. Like I loved it. I had Thanksgiving here. And then the next day, you know, we went up to her parents, which are about 3 hours away, and like had Thanksgiving up there. So it was a ton of fun. It was so much fun. And they're just good people to be with. And like, obviously just being with Heidi and in a long car ride. I mean, she's like someone I've never been with in the sense that like she's funnier than me. So like so many people tell me my entire life, like, oh, you're the funniest guy I know. Oh, you're funny. But like Heidi, like I love just having normal conversations for the humor that she brings out of it. So like a long car ride on a, you know, on Christmas would be nothing. Like it's not like in the movies where you're grumbling about having to drive on Christmas. So I'm excited to start new Christmas traditions. So if I always get my kids on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, they're always with their mom. I'm totally looking forward to just starting new traditions with Heidi and on Christmas Day and all that stuff. So I'm excited for it now.
Yeah.
Any other Christmas talk? Have you done Christmas shopping yet?
I did a bit on the Amazon.
Yeah.
I need to do more.
I think I did 80% of my Christmas shopping last night in about 4 minutes.
Serious?
Yeah.
What'd you get everybody? Like same thing? You're just like everybody's socks.
No, like my daughter Mia sent me like her Christmas list and I just kind of bought everything that was on it. And then like my family, we don't do like lots of, when I say I bought everything that's on it, I'm not bragging, is it was just little things.
Yeah.
So my side of the family is always family and food. And then their mom's side is always like the gifts.
Yeah.
So they get tons and tons and tons of gifts. Tons of money is spent on gifts on her mom's side. And on my side, it's probably like, I mean, it used to be like $100 a kid, maybe. And then in years past, like as they get older and I've kind of gotten on my feet financially, like I do like 150, maybe 200, you know, a person. That's but when you're good. A teenager, yeah, when you're a teenager, that goes fast. So, I mean, if you ask for a pair of shoes, that's half right there. So under the tree, you might have three gifts, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So Mia kind of sent me her list. I got her all the stuff, most of the stuff that she put on there. And then same thing later in the night, like Ella was like, hey, Dad, you know, this is what I need. And so same thing, click, 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 kind of done. And now I just have to get for my niece. Heidi and I, we like did the whole, like, we're not going to buy each other gifts, right? Let's promise not to buy gifts, because earlier we got a hot tub. So we're like, let's,
there's a gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. Jeff. That is an amazing gift. So our gift to each other is we're just going to like triple our payment of paying off the hot tub. So our Christmas gift to each other is going to be an extra payment for that hot tub.
My gift to you is me in that hot tub with
a Speedo. Reese Roper, that hot tub. I don't know how acquainted you are with hot tubs. I never liked, obviously, I think everyone agrees with me, public hot tubs are disgusting. Like it. Hotels and all that stuff.
I have an uncle that calls them AIDS pools.
Yeah. I just call them human broth.
Uh-huh.
Just human soup. It's just broth in there. So I've never liked them. I've gone in a few of like private, you know, like if I have a friend that has one or something, you go in
and
it.
And you're like, I know your parents did it in here, dude.
Exactly. You kind of feel awkward in somebody else's. But Heidi and I decided to get one, and it was the best decision we ever made. When I'm done with this, what time is it? In 20 minutes, when we're done here, I am going straight to the hot tub. You get in it. You do it for a half hour. That's a secret.
Half hour. In the human broth, but only yep. you and Heidi are going in this human broth, so it's not so
correct, bad. Yep. And it's, I think it's like 23 degrees outside. The hot tub's 103.
Jeez.
You get in that thing, oh, it's great. And then when you get out, you're freezing, you run inside, dry off, get your jammies on, you get in bed, you sleep so hard.
Ah, oh, man.
It is fantastic. So, oh, it's fantastic.
I don't want to brag to our listeners, but I also have a hot tub.
Yeah.
I got an inflatable hot tub on Wayfair when I was drunk. It was $300. I was just like, $300? I don't have the $300. I just, at the time, thought it was a good idea. Oh. It worked kind of good twice. It goes up to 104. I don't think it's 104. It feels like a warm tub. I got in it with the kids and Kara. We got in there. It was like you're getting kicked by kids the whole time, splashed. And you're like, this is not very hot. I feel like I'm getting cold. And then the next time we went in, everything kind of felt slimy. And I was like, I think you're supposed to put things in it. You got to put chemicals. So I looked up and it was like, hey, you got to put this shocker stuff in. It'll get all that slimy junk out and then it congeals it. And then you just got to rinse out your filter. So I did that and it's not worked since.
Oh.
So it may have been $300 for two times in the warm tub.
Yeah, because I would think because it's not insulated, it's heating up to 104, but just like a hot cup of coffee that you put in a non-insulated thermos or a mug, you put it in at 104 and it's immediately just dropping in temperature.
As soon as you put people in it and open it up, I want one that goes up to like 112, something a little bit more. So you're just like,
I don't think you can. I'm
going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell it. The disclaimer, like, this is also used to murder people. This is for assisted suicide.
Because I think, I don't know if it's legally, but I think the highest a hot tub will go is either 104 or 105.
104 is the reason, because after 104, it starts to denature the proteins in your brain.
Oh, that'll do it.
Right, but you'd have to be immersed in it completely for a couple minutes. Like, you'd have to be underwater straight for a couple minutes, and then you may get some brain damage.
The weird thing is when you get out of a hot tub, like we do, we've learned we can do a half hour, because if you go past a half hour, if you go 40 minutes or something, get a little nauseous and even at a half hour, when you get out, as soon as you get out, like that cold air hits you, you're like, "Woo, this feels good." And you start drying off and all of a sudden, like, you get a little dizzy. You get a little like out of breath. And it does that for about a minute, minute and a half, and then your body reacclimates, and then you're fine, and then you sleep like an absolute champion.
Huh.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
If I can ever get this thing working again, I'll try it.
Me and her get in it, and we just look at each other. We're like, this is the best purchase we've ever made. Like, it is phenomenal. It is so good.
Tell each other not to pee in it.
Yeah.
Like, I know I trust you. I trust you.
Yeah.
But just so we are on the same page, you're not peeing in this, right? Nobody.
Only
peeing.
Number two, not number one.
Right.
Because two, you could just do the scoop and flick out of the tub. Like, that's a quick one. But the pee, that just disperses in the water, and that's gross.
Easy, unless you went to Harrah's and got the shrimp. They ate 92 of the shrimp. Yeah. And then you're like, this is not getting scooped up.
Yeah. And then you just
a colostomy bag.
You just pee blood out of your butt. And then 15 years later, have your intestines unraveled. 15 years later, have your intestines taken out of your abdomen and set on a table next to you.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours later, they're squished back into your abdomen.
You just said you just pee out of your butt.
Pee blood out of your butt, yeah.
Pee blood out of your butt. I'm sorry, we checked all the boxes.
Yeah, after eating at that Harvey's Ultimate Casino,
yeah,
where I ate about 13 pounds of shrimp, all that iodine. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness.
That's good for your thyroid.
Well, I'll tell you what. My thyroid is never going to be nothing because it's going to shake off everything that tries to attack it because of that day 20 years ago, 25 years ago in Des Moines, Iowa, in Council Bluff, Iowa.
Council Bluffs. Boom. Rhea.
Oh, dude. I went, I think I've told this story on here, right?
We talked about it because it's the funniest Joe story I remember in my life. And when you told it on here, it just paled in comparison. The story that you told to the members of Five Iron, we could not stop laughing. We still can't. We still talk about Boom, Rhea. And that's Joe.
Yeah.
We all know.
Oh, that was something, man. But yeah, tis the season. Tis the season, man. We got about 15 minutes left here. I wanted to, let's see, what should we get to? Oh, I wanted to update you.
Yeah.
The Israelites, Rich and Eric from the Israelites. We have had multiple recording sessions planned. And they continue to get changed. So I had to cancel once. They've had to cancel twice. And then we just scheduled again. So I think this Sunday, we're going to try and get them. So patronizers, like we always say, man, we want to make sure that you get content first, that you get exclusive stuff, all of that. We're trying to make it where I want to make it. I don't know if I've run this by Reese, but I want to make it so when we're doing these interviews, that goes to you guys as patronizers. And if the freebies get it, they're going to get it 6 months later. I want to make sure that you're really getting your money's worth because I appreciate every penny that you contribute to us on a monthly basis. And I want to make sure that you guys are taken care of. So I know we may be behind on some Patreon content getting out.
We're only behind if we call this a weekly podcast, Joe.
Right.
Which is why I keep pushing we call it a semi-weekly podcast.
A bi-yearly.
Gold.
Yeah.
We're gold, man. People are just like, oh, it's a semi-weekly? What does that mean?
But just to let you guys know where this stands is I'm trying to get you guys weekly content. Reese is so busy. We're trying to get you guys weekly content, and then I'm trying to get interviews. So if a week passes by where patronizer stuff hasn't dropped, it's because something happened. I honest to God, I thought you had COVID. I thought you told me you had COVID. So I was just kind of waiting for you to be like, hey, I'm feeling better. And then all of a sudden, you were like, dude, I don't have COVID.
I thought I had COVID. I felt like shit. And I was having trouble. I felt like shit. And I was having trouble tasting things. I was like, did my sense of taste go away? Am I smelling things weirdly? And I hung out with my aunts and my uncle who all had COVID that weekend. And I was like, surely I have the COVID. And I was like, I think I have the COVID. I took the test the next day and it was negative.
Huh.
And I didn't feel bad anymore.
That's odd.
Yeah. I got the booster. I got the booster. I've had four COVID shots.
As far as I know, I've only had COVID the one time. So the one time, you know, knocked everything out. My taste, my smell, all that. And then about 3 months later, I started feeling better and started getting my taste and smell back.
Yeah.
And then I got vaccinated.
It's come back now, though?
No. So then when I got vaccinated, it took me right back to square one and has hampered me ever since.
Has it come back yet? You're making all this delicious food. You just described like making the ham.
Yeah.
You impregnated the ham.
Yeah.
With your sauce.
Yeah.
And you made all these turkeys.
Yeah. So I think I explained it like back when I had COVID. The only way I can explain it is you are correct. I cannot taste any of this stuff. I get the senses. So like I can taste sweet, salty, savory, sour. Like I could taste that stuff. So when
umami, that's all the tastes.
Yeah. So like
you
when
can't
I
taste.
You were correct. Picante.
Okay.
But so
picante, that's the sixth taste. That's the sixth sense.
Yeah. I could taste Bruce Willis with the sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
But so like that ham that I described, I can't taste the cherry. I can't taste the gingery Verner's in it. I can't, all I taste is sweet.
Yeah.
Like a sweet and the savory from the ham. I can't taste like, again, to kind of explain it to you guys, it would be like if I gave you a Butterfinger, a Snickers, and like a Kit Kat. Obviously, when you don't have your taste and smell affected, you would be able to blindly taste each one of those and tell me what each one of those are, because you could taste the peanut butter, you could taste the caramel, you could taste the whatever. I can eat...
you could take the penis butter.
Yeah, but if I eat them, all I taste is sweet. So I don't taste peanut butter anymore. I can't taste the caramel, the whatever. Obviously, there's sensation, so I would know the difference between a Kit Kat and a Snickers, but it's just as far as taste.
Because of the texture?
Texture, I can obviously tell, but I just can't tell taste anymore. I can't tell the difference if you made applesauce and then you made, like, you mashed up peaches to be like applesauce and you mashed up strawberries to be like applesauce. If I closed my eyes and took a spoonful of each of them, I could only get sweet. I wouldn't be able to say this is apple, this is peach, this is cherry or strawberry.
Does it make you want to curse God?
No, it doesn't, because he saved me from eternal damnation. So I'm still indebted to him, but it sucks. Cause I don't like to use the word foodie, but I love cooking. I love food, and it just makes it so I have to go. Prior to this, I used to love making something. And if somebody else was like, oh my gosh, this is the best ham I've ever had.
Yeah.
I would love that because I loved hearing somebody enjoy something that I made, but then I could also taste it. So now I'm almost more into what other people think because I just can't taste anything.
Joe, you give too much. You're basically in line to become the next pope.
Yeah. I think.
Like, I don't think they've ever elected a pope that's not Catholic, but you're probably...
I'm like up there with like the Pope,
Oprah,
Hunter Biden.
Hunter.
Like I'm up in that like echelon.
What?
Yeah.
What? Then what? So, okay. I cannot believe this because I'm just like, cool. Joe's taste and smell have come back.
Oh, no, not at all. Nope. Exactly what it was when you came up north with me. That's exactly what it is now.
This is not good.
Yeah, no change. There's days where it gets worse. So there's certain days where I can't taste anything. Just. It's almost like the sweet, savory, like that's not there.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't get better, but it definitely, there's days where it gets worse.
Should we eat something weird while you have the
It's weird.
Like we can eat
It's weird.
Fried worms or...
Like fried worms? Like how to eat fried worms?
Baklut. Balut.
Oh, balut. Balut. Yeah. I couldn't do balut just because of the texture.
Uh-huh.
Crushing through like a baby, bird skull.
What if it's not like crushing? What if it's like,
oh, I vomit.
It's cartilaginous.
Hey, you want to know what I learned today? Still, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could. I can't eat a normal egg without kind of
a normal egg
kind of gagging. If it's an omelet, I'm fine. But if it's an egg, I can't do it.
Just a regular egg.
But you know what I found out today?
Like a raw egg.
Yeah, I found out today. A woodpecker when it's pecking, its tongue goes to the back of its tongue is like an anteater. So like a woodpecker has a very long
they
tongue.
They peck a hole and then they lick out the insects.
Yeah. And I found out today that a woodpecker, when it's pecking away, a woodpecker can get concussed just like a human being can. So what they do is they stick their tongue to the back of their throat.
Mm-hmm.
Their tongue goes up around the back of their skull, their brain, and their tongue comes down between the middle, like in between their eyes. And they hold their brain in place while they're pecking.
Serious.
Yeah, look it up. It's the truth. Like the North American woodpecker, something like that. It wraps its tongue around the inside, and it wraps it around its brain and holds its brain in place so it's not like headbanging while it's
like
pecking.
If Russell Wilson could do that, the Broncos would be 500 right now, maybe.
Yeah. And if you like conduct an experiment and like cut its tongue off, it won't peck.
That sounds like
just eat bugs.
Let's see what happens when we cut dung out of this woodpecker. Seriously.
Hey, let's go camping. Let's feed seagulls Pepto-Bismol and cut woodpeckers' tongues out.
I'm basically a biologist. I don't know if you know this, ladies, but my work is mostly in seagulls, woodpeckers occasionally.
Peckerwoods. If I have enough drinks in me, I specialize in peckerwoods. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave you with peckerwoods. And I think this is just going to be a whole, it's like a weird timing thing because of everything that got screwed up with my computer.
It's going to come out in editing. You're going to be like, geez, this is good.
And restarting late.
What?
We're supposed to start at 8. We started at like 8:20.
My children are
and
like.
And then my computer failed.
I'm like, hey, it's time to go to bed. And they're like, no, our bedtime's 8:30. Like hell it is. It's 8. Go get your jammies on. But I don't have to be ready till 8.
Mm.
Go get your pajamas on. And then it just escalates from there. Like, go get them up. Brush your teeth. And then the little one, she's like, Dad, I already brushed my teeth. I might put pajamas on. And the other one is like, I will fight you right now. Where is the knives? And I'm like, I don't know, because I tore the kitchen out. You're out of luck. Go put your pajamas on. And then...
Yeah. But then I had computer issues, so it's not all you. It was me. Okay. So that's why I'm looking at the, like, timing, and it's just, it's not right. So I think we probably have enough here for a freebie, but we're going to get some content out. We'll figure something out to get something out to the patronizers later this week.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, we'll talk to you next week. You'll hear from us soon. Hopefully, another something will be coming out in the next few days. And I think that's about it. See you.
Peace.